I want you to stand up and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to honor the Word of God by standing up as we read this together. I want you to ask your neighbor, how far will you go? Come on, ask. How far will you go for your own happiness? How far will you go for your success? How far will you go for the poor? How far will you go for your revenge? How far will you go? Just keep that in mind as we read Matthew chapter 25. And if you have it on there, put it on for me. We're going to start on verse 31. And it's long. We're going to read till verse 44. But I want you to really read it with your heart, not just with your mouth. Amen? Starting at verse 31, all together. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand. Sorry. Okay, verse 34. Then the king will say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did to me. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Then they, altogether 44, then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's pray. God, we open our hearts to your words. God, 2,000 years ago when you came to your people, so many people did not recognize you, did not receive you. But Lord, your people, we have another chance as you return soon and very soon, God. But we want to be ready. God, when you return, we want to recognize you. We want to receive you. We want to acknowledge you for who you are, Lord. God, we want to honor your words, God. We want to live according to your heart. So today, we ask, will you allow our hearts to hear your voice honor you in and through our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. All right. So about five of us, we went to Philippines for a week. We joined with Devin, the one that we sent last year. And I want to explain to you about Happy Land and Aroma. You know, as a missionary, I've been to all over the world. You name it. I've been to Sudan, where I risked my life, seriously. I've been to Paraguay, into the prison. I've been to Thailand. I've been to Cambodia, Indonesia, you name it. I've been to Mozambique. I've been to so many nations. And guess what? Wherever I went, I saw the poor. Wherever, I mean, even in Mexico, people live in the garbage land. But what I saw in Mexico were maybe a couple of hundred people living, you understand, in the garbage. Mozambique, Africa, maybe, I don't know, 200-300. There's poverty-stricken people, forgotten, forsaken by their community. But the Philippines, when I first went, I was shocked. Because we have a lot of Filipino members at our church in both campuses. Philippines is open to the gospel. Anyone can enter into Philippines. It's open. You understand? But when I went to the slums in Tondo, there are in one area, in just in Aroma and Happy Land, there are 80,000 people. About this size of the sanctuary, there's about 200 people living. Many of them will have to work morning till night, going through the garbage to look for the food for them to eat that day. Have you ever been punched by poverty? I got kicked like by this black belt taekwondo. He and I got into a fight when I was a teenager. He actually ran and jumped and fly kicked me on the chest, and I flew. It hurt. But my pride, I got up and I jumped and I punched his face. And I was like, I wanted to cry, but my friend's like, yes, Sonny. I'm like, but have you, when we went to Happy Land, we took our team to building number 2. Everybody say building number 2. Now, what you saw was poverty, but building number 2 is another level. There's about 30 buildings in Happy Land and Aroma, and about hundreds of people live in each building. Well, building number 2 is the poorest of the poor, even amongst the slums. It's a broken down building. I don't know if you've been on Emeryville side. We've been praying for building number 2 for past 2.5 years. Because in building number 2, the forgotten, the forsaken live. In building number 2, there's a little shack on the second floor where their own family members take their children as little as 3 and sell them for sex so that they could have money for their drugs and food for the family. In building number 2, when we walked in, we had to walk, climb the pile of garbage, and as we're walking up, you saw it on there. There are little kids living and playing on top of the garbage. Little kids as young as 5 or 6 are smelling glue. They're doing drugs. Do you know why? Because they're crazy drug addicts? No, because they cannot handle the hunger pain. And the only way to overcome the hunger pain is to do drugs. I remember when we came out of that building number 2, one of our church members, it was her first mission trip. She just couldn't handle it. She just started to wail. Why? Because she got punched by the poverty. And she was like, the little teenage boys were jumping on little kids right before my eyes during the daylight. She just couldn't handle what she saw. And we prayed. You know, what we read in Matthew chapter 25, the king comes back and he separates the people to left and to right. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. But if you pay attention to Matthew chapter 25, you know what the only difference is? The ones on the right fed the poor. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was naked, which we saw, so many of the kids were naked. It broke my heart. In one of the service we had, this one-year-old came bottomless and sat on the ground. They're naked. They're hungry. And the goats, why were they on the left? Because when I was hungry, the Lord said, you did not give me any food. I want sons and daughters and Living Hope. I want us to be on the right side. You hear me? When I came back, I saw this video of my friend Ann Hansen. She's a co-pastor of this church in Murrieta, and she did a little video, and she just asked, how far will you go? That's where I got the beginning, you know? So like, how far will you go? You know, I do inner healing and deliverance, and this guy came from a different state just to receive that two-hour, you know, ministry because he was desperate, and he knew it was important. It was worth it to travel all the way to California. How far will you go for your breakthrough, for your healing? And she also said, somebody called us this week saying she received a letter from their church with the church logo saying something really, really mean and bad. And she thought, wow, this person, whoever sent this letter, went that far to hurt another human being. How far will you go? When I read that, it gripped my heart. Because so many of us, even Christians, even leaders, and even pastors, do we really live for Christ or do we live for ourselves? Do you live for His glory and honor or do you live for your happiness? Because, you know, lately, I was thinking, man, why is life so hard sometimes? You know what I mean? Why is it so hard? Sometimes when we run after something that is not beyond us, you understand? It never ends. As I walked through the happy land, I just couldn't stop thinking about Matthew 25. You know, just a few days before I went into Happy Land, you know, I had all these, you know, desires for a vacation, you know, like I want to go to a 5-star hotel and relax and swim, and why not? You know, I'm 45. I don't have to go backpacking. I should be able to stay at a nice hotel, you know, and we were fasting, and, you know, man, I would, you know, the things that I wanted to eat that I couldn't eat, and then I walked through a happy land. If you could only be there and see. And I just hear the Lord saying, I was hungry and you did not
me.
Matthew 16:25 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let me ask you this today. And you know what? I asked myself also, even as a pastor, who are you living for? What are you living for? I thought about self-centered life versus kingdom-centered life. When you live for your own happiness, it's never ending. You know, I went to Hawaii last year for vacation, and then I saw their honeymoon pictures, and I want to go there, Croatia. You know, like I've never been there. Do you understand? It's never enough. I've been to over 20-something countries. It's never enough. You know, when Benjamin and I first met, we made $2,000, and our rent was $600. And then we tithed, and then we helped out a friend who couldn't afford her rent for $2,000. And I was thinking, man, if I could only have another $1,000, that would be so good. And then we became an associate pastor somewhere, and we made $3,000. But then we moved into an apartment that cost $1,200. It's just never enough. And then we planted Living Hope, and our church started to give us $4,000, the double. But then the rent was $2,600 in Emeryville. You know what I'm talking about? It's never ending. You buy Honda Civic. I wish I could drive Honda Accord. And then I buy Honda Accord, and I see Mickey driving Hyundai Sonata. I'm like, well, that's nice. I'm almost double his age. I should be able to drive Hyundai Sonata. And then now all these kids are buying Subaru, whatever, right? It's never enough when you're living for your own happiness. Now, Benjamin and only Benjamin got paid. You know what I mean? Now we both get paid. We have the double salary, but it's not enough. It's never enough. Better phone, better house, huh? But the kingdom-centered life, when you live for something that is outside of your own self. You know, I thought about one of our old church members. She doesn't go here anymore. She moved away. But she had a very severe clinical depression where she took like a bunch of medication every single day. But what was crazy was every time we went on the mission field, she never had to take any medication. And you think, oh, it's just a week or 2 weeks. Even when we went to Sudan for a whole month, she didn't take one pill. And she was, if you looked at her, she was so joyful. We had to risk our lives because at that time when we went, they were torturing and killing Christians. And we were in the refugee camp sleeping in the mud house, right? Our lungs got filled with dust and dirt. You know what I mean? Sleeping on a little net thingy, right? Like about, I don't know, 10 inches off the ground. And then at night, there's little rats running around. You understand? I ate one wrong chicken feet. The next day, my whole face was swollen. I did not recognize myself. Even in that condition, she did not have to take one medication. Why? Because she was living for something that was beyond or outside of herself. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, okay? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. When you are living only for yourself, it's impossible to learn the secret of being content. Because, you know, every time I have to buy the new iPhone that comes out. You know what I mean? Even if it's not like ready, right? Like, I have to wait, what, 2 years for the free upgrade? Like, you know, I talk my husband into paying the extra to get me the new one, right? And it should be able to last me for years, but when the new, it's never enough. But I feel like God is saying to you and I, it's always enough. It is enough. Today is enough. What you have in your lot right now is enough. When what is in your lot is enough, and it's enough for you and enough to share with the poor, that's when you really learn the secret that the Paul learned. To be content when I have nothing. To be content when I'm fasting and just drinking juice that you get tired of because, right, it's too sweet after like 2-3 days. You understand? Whether you go eat all you can eat Korean barbecue or you're fasting meat, you can learn to be content. You hear me? I was listening to T.D. Jakes the other day, and he talked about cause and effect, that without a cause, there's no effect. He was saying without a cause, your feelings and your situations will prevail. But when there is a cause that is more important than your feelings and your situation, then your destiny will prevail. You understand? When the why of your fasting is greater than your present feelings of hunger and pain, you will prevail and you will not fail. That was me. This is what T.D. Jakes said. He said, whenever what is in front of you is more important than what is behind you, you will always get away. But some people may say, but Pastor, right now, I'm just not in the right place to help others. I can't even help myself. And I feel like the word of the Lord to you, if that was what your heart was saying, what God is saying to you is where you are and who you are right now, today, is enough. Everybody say, it's enough. It's enough. Even these children in Happy Land and Aroma, they're hungry, but they're smiling. Why aren't they depressed and discouraged? Why don't they just kill themselves when they're, you understand? Why? And every one of these children that we interviewed, when we asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what their answer was? I want to be this and that. And when we asked why, it didn't matter what their answer was. Their why was all the same. These kids, they barely get one meal a day. You understand? These kids, some kids didn't even have a shirt on. You understand? These kids, when we ask, what do you want to be when you grow up and why? Every single one of them, you know what their answer was? I want to help my family and help other people. They have nothing. But somehow, they learn the secret that who they are can be enough. This is what T.D. Jakes said that gripped my heart. And this is for you, sons and daughters. This is what he said. It is not how well you fight, but it is what you are fighting for. You could fail here and there, but what you're fighting for, if it's worthy, you will prevail. Your destiny will prevail. It is not important what is in the back right now in your life is not important. You know what's important? What is important is what you think about what is in your back. You look at David and Goliath. David, just a lunch boy. This is what T.D. Jake used as an illustration. He was just a lunch boy. He was not even enlisted in the army. He just went to deliver food. And he see this giant, you know, defaming, right? Dishonoring his God. And you know what he did with those five stones? He killed the giant. But it's not the rock in itself that killed the giant. It's what David thought of the rocks that was in his pocket that killed the giant. T.D. Jake said, don't get too overly impressed by those rocks. Don't get too impressed by what is in other people's bags. Or, you know, underestimate what is in your bags. Just a stone. It's about what you think about what is in your bags. You can still bless and serve others with what is already in your bag. You and I, you know what we need to learn? To never underestimate the power of faithfulness. What God has given you is enough for today. It is enough for the season, and it is more than enough to feed the poor, to clothe the naked. Cause and effect. When you live a selfless, kingdom-centered life, when you really read the Bible and really believe it as words of God, think about Jesus and the cross. How did Jesus endure the cross? The shame, the pain. Why? Because Jesus focused on what was ahead of him. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 36. Can you put that up there? Matthew 26, verse 36, starting at verse 36. Okay, read this with me. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go there over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Okay, I want you to skip to verse 44. It says, so he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Have you ever felt hopeless and helpless, drowning in your own pain and sorrow and sadness? Jesus himself, I mean, Jesus God, was almost begging his disciples, please, I'm in such sorrow. I just need you to watch with me. Just pray with me. And even ask God, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours. God, how in the world, Jesus, did you endure this cross? If you look at Hebrews 12:2, it tells us how. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Even Jesus felt that shame, right? And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know how you could endure your present pain? To not to focus on the cross itself, but what is set aside ahead of you for you. You're not fasting in vain.
You understand? Even some of you, you feel more weak spiritually. You're like, I'm such a fake. Come on, be real with me. Have anyone feel like that? You're fasting, but you feel like you're such a fake. You're so weak. You realize how weak you are as a Christian. You almost feel like, man, I should be disqualified as a leader, as a pastor. I can't. I'm talking for myself right now. You hear me? It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You know why? Because no matter how many times you failed, and you ate that one cracker, if you were doing the liquid fast, you kind of ignore that ingredient. If you're doing the Daniel fast, it's like, you hear me? You feel me, some of you? Huh? But even if you ignored what was written in that ingredient and you ate it and you felt bad, even then, you know what God says? It's beautiful because it's not self-centered. Why the would you be doing what you're doing if you were living for yourself? God is pleased, guys. Even in your weakness, He's pleased because you're fighting for something that is beyond you. This is God's mandate to His people. You ready for this? Okay. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Okay. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Those of you who has the gift of writing, speaking, you need to use your voice. You need to use your writing to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. You understand? Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. But pastor, you don't know how broke I am. Well, guess what? Compared to our Happy Land brothers and sisters, you are rich. Because even if you had no money, any one of you could call any one of us and say, I'm hungry, feed me. You just have to kill your pride. There's somebody who would be willing to buy you food. What is in you is enough. You know why people withhold from giving? Because they think what's in their bag isn't enough, huh? 1 John 3:17, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. One more week, guys. Faithful in prayer. Don't just starve yourself, pray. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. As we look at those videos, let's not just feel bad for them. Let's do something together, can we? This is His promise for those who give to the poor. Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You need some refreshing? Refresh others. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Whatever you do for the poor, you're lending to God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator. You're lending to God. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. When was the last time you shared your food? Not with your roommate who makes more money than you, but with the poor. Proverbs 28, 27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing. But those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Hmm? Proverbs 14, 31. Whoever is kind to needy honors God. When you think and when you care for the poor, you're honoring God. You hear me? We're fasting, right? I'm going to challenge you. Just like Nikki came and challenged Emeryville campus. You ready for the next step to take your fasting to another notch high, David? Hey, it's time to take it to another notch. Okay? Let me tell you what. Isaiah 58. Verse 11, is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food? Everybody say, share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then, everybody say then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. As we are fasting together in this epoch season for our breakthroughs, we must pay attention to Isaiah 58, the type of fasting that God has chosen. You know how we're going to take our fasting to another notch high? Not for refraining from more food, by giving to the poor, by feeding the poor, by clothing the naked, by setting the captives free. At the end of this world, Jesus will come. He will return to his people. And he will divide the people to his left and to his right. I know. I want nice things. I want success. I want a lot of good things that are not bad. It's not sin to enjoy life. I want us to enjoy life. That's why Jesus paid the price so that we could enjoy life. But if you want to really enjoy life, the joy that you will experience when you put a t-shirt on a five-year-old who's been naked all his life, when you bring food to Happy Land Building Number 2, and you eat, you see them eat the food that you brought, and you see them full of joy. You don't understand the joy that you and I will experience. That's life abundant. Rather than buying everything you want that you don't need, let's live for what is in God's heart and remember the poor. You saw the pictures. It's not in here. Benjamin's working on the documentary of Happy Land. And there, you'll be shocked. There's 6-7-year-old in the video smelling glue and doing drugs in front of his parents or older people. It's a normal thing to them. You know what the Lord is saying? If you love me, you will love the poor. If you feed the poor, you're feeding Jesus. You know, right Wednesday we left last week, And I got, and one of our Emeryville, who's going through a church membership now, so she's not a member yet, came to the office and handed me this envelope. Pastor, when you preached last Sunday, God really moved my heart. And this is what she said. I've been saving up to buy a house. But I feel like the children that you're going to minister to need this more than I need a house. $5,000 cash. Single young woman. I don't know how many years it took for her to save that. And I took it. I said, God, you must have something planned for this. I am not going to use this for a regular ministry. I'm going to save this for the divine appointment that you have prepared. Now we go and we meet Thomas and we're going into Happy Land too. And this is what he said. A lot of pastors cannot even go to Happy Land building too. The police can't even go to the shack. And you understand? It's untouchable. But Thomas said, God called me to go in every day and even sleep two nights with them. God called me to go in and be with them. But I cannot minister to them without getting their mind right, because they're all drugged out, from little kids to the older people. But in order for me to keep them from doing drugs, I have to feed them. I have to feed them. Get their physical body strong. And then when they're strong, their body gets strong, their mind gets strong. Then as I live amongst them, I'm going to disciple them. Pastor, I know how to do rehab. I've been trained. I want to go in. But I need to go in and I need to feed them between 6 to 9 months. I need to feed them 2 meals a day. I need to do it. When he shared that, my heart and my spirit said, this is it. And when I asked him, how much will it cost? All it takes is 70 cents per meal per one child. He wants to feed two children. That means $1.40 a day to feed one child 2 meals. You know what that means? It means $10 a week you could feed one child 2 meals a day for 7 days a week. You know what that means? For $40 a month, you could feed one child for a whole month 2 meals a day. There's 50 kids in that Happy Land building number two. You know what that means? It means for $2,100, you could feed every 50 kids in that building number two 2 meals a day, which they have never in their life have eaten. They get one good meal a week on Saturday when one church comes and brings the food. Rest, who knows? And we pray, the team prayed, and we told Thomas, this is we brought a special offering of sacrifice from one of our members. We want to use this. Start it up. And then you tell us when you're going to start. Because I asked him, why don't you start? He's like, as soon as God provides the funds, I will start. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so we gave him that money, which will last 2 months, right? And then we committed to raise another 6 months. Right? That means we're going to feed these children for 8 months, 2 meals a day. When we came back, we showed the pictures to Aletheia, and I told her what I told you, how much it costs. And you know what Aletheia said? She gets $10 a week for her allowance. I know that's a lot for a seven-year-old. We spoil our child. We also pay for everything, right? She said, Mommy, I want to give my $10 a week and feed. You're going to give everything? Because Mommy and Daddy could help you so you could keep some. No. No. I want to feed them more than 1 month. I want to feed them for the whole time. You're going to give it all? Yeah. And Mommy, I want, when I go to Nene's house and when I do house chores, she gives me money. Then I want to feed more than one child. Number one, without even praying about, she gave 100% of her income. That's admirable, isn't it? Number two, she trusted her mommy and daddy. That she knew even if she gave it all away, she trusted her mommy and daddy to provide for her, buy her the things that she wants or needs. She trusted us. For that, it touched my heart. And number three, she said she will do extra work so that she could help feed more than one child. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I want to challenge you. I want to give you a Aletheia challenge today. Let's really honor God with our fasting. Let's do Isaiah 58 fasting. Let's end our one last week of fasting by honoring God's heart, by feeding the poor and clothing the naked. Can we do that? I want to challenge you. Now, probably not everyone can do it, because we're challenging Emeryville campus also, right? And we only need 47 more people. Why? When Aletheia did it, I have to do it myself, even if I have to give up my Starbucks. You know what I mean? And then Benjamin's like, well, then I want to feed a child in my own name too, right? So out of 50, ours Robinson got 3 down. So we're asking 47 more people. And, you know, with little different costs, it costs about, this is so ridiculous. It only costs for you to give $250 to feed one child 6 months. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? To this child, how far will you go? Can you give up $10? A week. How far will you go? Can you give up to clothe this child? Can you show some other pictures? You could clothe him. You could come with me if you take training. Next. Right? This is a child who's waiting. This child that you're seeing, she's hungry. And she gets sold every night. She gets abused every night. What we want to do, we want to get rid of that shack in building number 2. Can you and I, as we're fasting, pray that God would remove that shack? We've been praying for 2 years for that shack to be removed. Now we get to actually go into building 2 every day, starting on May 8th, right? So how far can you and I go for that child, huh? Next. This boy that Kendra is holding. You know why she's holding him and embracing him? Because his mother was shot in the head right in front of his eyes. Kendra was willing to go all the way to Philippines to embrace and whisper, I love you. I love you. I love you. Next. These women live in Happy Land in Aroma. They can't even provide for their own children. You know what they said? They took the challenge and said, even if you don't help us with our own children, I want to help with giving birth certificates for other children in Happy Land and Aroma. These women took the challenge. They're really doing Isaiah 58 fasting with us. So I want you to stand up. I want you to close your eyes. Yes, Chase, you may join us also. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine Jesus returning. And Jesus is in front of you. And I want you to imagine yourself being led
to his right, along with the poor that you fed, the naked that you clothed. It's enough. You are enough. That's what the Lord is saying. What is in your bag is enough. Your situation is enough. But God, I'm waiting for this breakthrough. But you know what? Even before that breakthrough, you are enough. Where you are is enough, the Lord is saying. Hear the voice of your Lord today. You are enough. What is in your bag is enough. But God, it's nothing. I don't have much, Lord. I'm so broken, God. What can you do with this little thing? Then he would say, remember my servant David? He was just a lunch boy. He didn't have any money in his pocket. He just had 5 stones that he picked up. And those 5 stones were enough to slay the giant, to free his people. Can you allow your hearts and your minds to grab hold of his voice? My child, it's enough. You're enough. Your situation right now, it's enough. And will you respond? Will you respond to your King today? Will you respond by honoring his heart? By not turning your heart or your head from the poor? By saying, God, I will go as far as you want me to go. You want me to give up coffee for next 6 months to feed these children? I will go there. You want me to take my vacation time and go to Philippines and actually serve the food? I will go there, God. God, wherever you call me to, I will go. I will not be afraid. I will not hold back because I trust you. You know what, where God is taking you today, you and I? To another level of trust. The only way for you to give beyond what you've been giving is when you can trust. Thomas said, you know, there's a big ministry that provides lots of money to feed the poor. But he said, but I don't feel peace to ask them. Even though they're rich and, you know, I don't have the peace to ask them. Because they're going to ask, if we give you this amount of money, what kind of impact are you going to bring? But he said, I don't know. But you know what, Living Hope? You know what we said? You know what? We don't care what tomorrow's impact it's going to bring. Just the fact that we could feed that child who's hungry is enough. That's enough. Just to clothe that naked child right now, even though there are 80,000 people in one area, another 80,000 in another area, even though there's so many, we could start with this 50. We could feed them. We could clothe them.